Okay, I want you to think this morning about superhero movies. If you think about the plot of most superhero movies, there's pretty much the same elements because we know how the hero's journey works. Thanks to Joseph Campbell and all his work on mythology, there are just some building blocks in superhero stories. Let's think through a few of them together. Okay, so The Dark Knight Rises. We've got Bruce Wayne, and he is kind of a recluse from society at this point, and he's moved away from everyone. He wants nothing to do with anything in Gotham. So you've got this millionaire, billionaire, whatever, civic philanthropist stowed away. But now a new enemy comes on the scene. And Bruce Wayne is reluctant. He does not want to put back on the cape. But the enemy's strong. And so he gets past his reluctance. He goes out, begins to fight for good. He is defeated and almost dies and goes down into the pit. But then he rises, and his strength renews, and he defeats the bad guy. There's one. What about T'Challa? Returning home after his father's death, he's put into leadership, and he's not sure how he's going to carry that weight. And he tries to follow just a standard path that's already there, kind of keep the nation of Wakanda hidden, don't take any unnecessary risks, but a new enemy comes on the scene. And so T'Challa has to decide what his role is going to be. And at first he's defeated and stripped of power and nearly killed. But he returns and he reclaims the throne and chooses a different way forward. He chooses to step into the mission. Or what about Diana Prince? Living quietly, trying not to interfere. But there's a world at war, and she leaves the safety of her island. She thinks maybe it's a matter of a simple defeat, and the conflict will be over. But that doesn't happen. The war continues, and she has to move past her reluctance to decide what kind of hero she will be. And Wonder Woman steps forward anyway. She fights for people who are flawed and broken. And at the end, she becomes the hero that the story needs. This is not just the plot of superhero movies. This is the plot of almost every story we love. I want you to think of some movies or stories that you have come to enjoy and see if those elements are there. The reluctant hero who gets called in to some kind of task, doesn't want to do it, but finally owns it. It's not just superhero movies, is it? Think of just other stories and other movies that we know. There's a father who wants to find his son, and he's afraid of everything, doesn't want to do it, he's out of his element, but he leaves the reef and he crosses the ocean and he keeps going no matter what it costs. A hockey player discovers at once that his grandmother is going to lose her house and that he happens to be good at golf. And he has no intention of becoming one of those golfer types. But when he sees his grandmother suffering, he puts on the mantle, picks up the clubs, enters the tour anyway, almost loses, but comes back and buys her house. He keeps moving toward the goal because he is Happy Gilmore. Or finally, a young woman gets an opportunity that could change her future, and she's overwhelmed and doesn't fit and struggles to keep up. But she leans in, moves past her reluctance, and adapts and learns how to survive in that world. We know how stories work. An ordinary person is called into something difficult. They don't want it. It costs more than expected. But in the end, they become the person the moment requires. We don't just expect that in movies. We expect that in people. So join me today in Jonah chapter 1. For the next few weeks, we're going to follow Jonah and his journey in our series called Strange Mercy. Now, when we read Jonah, sometimes we read it as a story just about disobedience to God. I remember a VBS I was a part of over a decade ago where the theme for the story of Jonah was, you can run, but you can't hide. Now, that message is partly true, but it's really only the message of the book of Jonah if you stop reading halfway through. Sometimes we read the story as an indictment on a narrow view of God's mercy and whom he can show it to. Sometimes even as a story about xenophobia and how God's people think about people who aren't God's people outside their circle. And in many ways, it is a story about that. We'll get to it later in the series. But again, that theme only really works if you think the people in Nineveh were just kind of mild-mannered people who were only marginally opposed to God. Jonah is about these things, disobedience and God's mercy. But Jonah is about more. And just telling you, when I planned my preaching in advance, Jonah sounded great when I was last year thinking what I should preach through. And then I got to reading about Jonah, and it's just more and more complicated. It's a strange story, but it's a fun story. So join me now in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, as we begin Jonah's hero story, if we can call it that. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, for those of you who might be new to this story, let's pause and just ask, who is Jonah, and what is Nineveh, and why do these matter? Now, Jonah is written as the hero of this story, or at least the main character. There really aren't other historical references to whomever Jonah is, except for a mention in Kings about his time during Jeroboam II. It's about the 8th century B.C. Jonah is actually mentioned as kind of a nationalistic prophet who is preaching a message that enables the expansion of the borders of Israel. But this story was probably written a few centuries later. And Nineveh is the capital of the big, bad empire of Assyria. Several years ago, I read a book, you may have read it, called In the Garden of Beasts. And the cover has just always stuck with me. I pause every time I see it in a bookstore, because it shows in full color the vibrant city of Berlin during the early days of World War II. And it's this stark picture of bright lights and a vibrant city. You can imagine people going out to dinner and enjoying this city. But behind all that veneer are sinister leaders and violence and secrecy and evil plotting. It's a regime that's built on fear and violence just beneath the surface. That's the kind of place God tells Jonah to go to. No Israelite would want to go there, and it's understandable. Now, the command God gives him, your text says, go to the great city. The command is literally, get up and go. So what does Jonah do? Verse 3, he went down. The opposite. I think the word plays on purpose. In fact, he's going to keep going down. He goes down into a boat and down into the lowest parts of the boat. And he lays down to go to sleep. And he gets thrown down into the sea. Down, down, down. You might miss the word play in your English translations, but they are right there in the original writing. So we're used to this kind of resistance sometimes when God calls people. We saw it in our movie plots. People don't always immediately embrace their call. And we see it with characters all through Scripture too. At a burning bush, God calls Moses to lead his people out of slavery. And Moses responds with not one, but five objections. And under a tree, God calls Gideon to be a mighty warrior for his people. And Gideon responds by looking around and saying, I don't even know if God is real because of all the suffering I see around me. Why don't you give me some signs so I'll be reassured? In a vision, God calls Isaiah to be a truth teller to the people. And Isaiah responds by lamenting his own brokenness. And then with words that show up one way or another, God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah responds by questioning his own youthfulness and his own ability to speak. We are used to hearing verbal objections to God's call. Who am I? I'm not good enough. I'm not sure I trust you. But with Jonah, it's on a different level. He doesn't talk back to God. He doesn't ask for reassurance or signs. He just goes the opposite way. He goes down instead of up. He goes west instead of east. To Joppa instead of Nineveh. To safety instead of risk. So he gets on the boat headed for Tarshish, and God sends a great wind and a violent storm. The rain is pounding on the ship's deck. The wood is creaking, and the sailors are running around panicking. They're throwing things off right and left, trying to lighten the load. They're crying out to their own gods. Where's our hero? Verse 5, Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. That's right, our hero is snoozing through a deadly storm. And the ship's captain, meanwhile, has other plans. He goes down and he rousts Jonah from his sleep. And he says to him, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us so that we will not perish." The first person in this story to express faith in Jonah's God is not Jonah. It's this pagan boat captain. And meanwhile, the other sailors have given up throwing things overboard, and now they're casting lots and rolling dice, essentially, to see who on this boat has messed up badly enough to bring on this storm. And who is it? It's Jonah. And so they go and talk to him, and after some back and forth where Jonah at least acknowledges God, the sailors ask Jonah what they should do with him to calm the storm. Now, if you step back for a minute and look at the whole book of Jonah, and you're honest about what you read and see, I wonder if you think Jonah is a person who really wants to live. Because right here, he tells them to throw him into the sea. He doesn't know a rescue's coming. It's going to mean his death. Later on in the story, he keeps telling God that he'd rather be dead than witness what God is doing. And so our hero seems to have a death wish, and these other men on the boat, these pagans, have more decency than you might expect. They don't want to throw him overboard. They row harder in an attempt to get to shore because they don't want to send Jonah to his death. But the storm keeps getting worse. So the sailors say, "Please, Lord, don't let us die for taking this man's life. Don't hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Don't miss this. The sailors use God's actual name. Not just the generic God, but Yahweh, the God of Israel. The pagan sailors pray to the God of Israel before Jonah ever does. And then they throw him overboard. And the storm just calms down. And these pagan sailors, verse 16, greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Not to give away the plot, but at no point does Jonah come to his senses, embrace his role, take on the hero's mantle. Think about all the stories, the movies that we talked about at the beginning. The call comes, the resistance comes, and then eventually the hero steps into it. But Jonah, he doesn't grow into it. He doesn't rise to the moment, and he does not become the person the story requires. This isn't how the story is supposed to go. Jonah doesn't become the hero, and the descent doesn't change him. He just keeps resisting. Now, there are larger messages in the book of Jonah, but I do think chapter 1 has something to say about resistance and weakness and fear. Not in some judgy sense of, oh, look at Jonah, he should have done better. Because most of our lives do not neatly follow the hero's journey. Most of us can point to moments when a call came and we did not step into it. Not because we didn't hear it or because we didn't understand it. It's because we did and we didn't like it. We resist in different ways. Sometimes it is with our words. I'm not ready. I'm not the right person. God, surely you have someone else in mind. And sometimes we resist with our decisions because we quietly go in a different direction or choose comfort over calling or safety over obedience. We don't make some big speech about it. We just go the other way. So what do you do when God is calling you into a story you don't want to be part of? What do you do when the call is clear, but the direction feels wrong, or dangerous, or costly? What if the problem is not that you don't know what God is asking, but that you do? Because many times the story God is writing does not feel like a story we want to live. I can't tell you how many stories I've heard from all of you in the past 3.5 years where you've told me about moments that you felt called to do something, go somewhere, move overseas for a period of time and embrace a new role, do something bold in your family, extend your generosity beyond what you are comfortable. And sometimes with tears, you will tell me that you didn't want to do it, that you had all kinds of reasons it wouldn't work. But somehow, by the grace of God, you chose the story he was writing. And you're so glad that you did. But you only see that in hindsight. I am the person, when something hard happens, or some opportunity comes that's difficult, I am the one who wants to get out the spreadsheets and talk risk management and all the worst case scenarios. And almost every bold decision our family has made is because I have a wife who says, well, that's all true, but so many times I did not want to embrace the story that God was writing. Some of you can tell those stories too. You've told them to me. Sometimes God is writing a bold story for our lives. And the question is, will we step into it? Or will we keep resisting? By the way, where have we left our hero? Well, Jonah has run from God. He's gone down into the sea, and now he's just gone. Verse 17 of chapter 1, the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And as the story is told, inside the fish, Jonah finally prays. He tells a beautiful story about crying out and being rescued and about being brought up from the depths. And he ends with this: I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And with one swift bout of, shall we say, digestive distress, the fish deposits Jonah on land. If this were any other story, this would be the turning point when our hero has gone to the bottom and back up. And the question is, will Jonah now embrace God's call? We'll see. Let's stand and sing.